It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along for the ride today, and always good to have our Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor. Hello there, sir.
Hello, Mark. How are you today?
Really good. We got kind of interesting subject today that you said comes up in at least half of the marital counseling sessions you have.
Maybe I would say close to half, yeah.
Close to half. It eventually presents itself as more of an issue than maybe people say at first, and that is sexual addiction, porn addiction.
Sexual/porn. And I have a lot of that because I deal with addiction in clients with addictions a lot. And frankly, we all have maybe a short list of habitual behaviors that we'd like to change. So kind of it's sort of like a broad net today, but we're zeroing in on those because those are I have here, we've talked about this before and we talk about this a bit on the show. And I just wanted to, why is it such an important issue? Why does it keep coming up? Some people might be listening and say, oh, it seems like we're always talking about it. Why has it come up? And so just before we got on air, I was talking about how it reminds me, it seems like we're in a time in Western civilization where we're obviously, many, many people can sense God's correction coming on Western society. Mm-hmm. And it's being brought on in a lot of quarters. We read the news, keep up on this, by the Islamic, radical Islam. Now, so I'm looking, we were talking about it, if we read the Israel history and the books of Judges and Kings, and we see how that quite often when Israel began to worship a god of a neighboring nation, that nation was actually used to judge Israel, and that nation was said to be the more righteous nation because Israel should know better, and that other nation is ignorant of that. Mm. So God would use that "quote unquote" more righteous nation to judge Israel. So we see, at least I see, almost a more righteous Islam because they're doing a lot of the same things. Pedophilia is common in Islam, the disrespect and mistreatment of women, very much the same thing. We're worshiping, as you said.
Though. Yeah. But our immorality in Hollywood and all of the ungodly stuff that comes out in our media is one of their main reasons why they say, the ungodly West, the great Satan.
Yeah, so we're going to go take care of them. Yeah, sure. Yeah. And so I was talking about the, for people listening, can kind of liken it to, raise your hand if you've seen or read anything about The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or anything like that. And you know that when Bilbo put the ring on, the enemy could see him. So I sort of see it almost as though worshiping that at that same altar attracts the attention of judgment. And so it's almost like this is what we're doing blatantly through Western society, and the judgment is coming. So I see that as one of the reasons why this is a hot topic for me, plus the fact that I see a lot of it in counseling, and I'm hoping that people will realize the price tag on this, that this, I may consider this a secret sin in my life, but it's adding to the cup of iniquity.
Hmm. Well, so then you're saying the basic root of addiction, sexual addiction in particular, it's a form of idolatry.
It is a form of
giving ourselves to other gods.
Yeah.
And so that's our overreaching kind of spiritual dimension of what it is. But now in a practical sense where people live, this has become, you're saying before we went on the air, up to half of the marital sessions you get together. This is something that comes up.
And of course, I'm in the business of helping people that are in trouble, so that's probably not a cross-section.
Right.
But obviously there's a fair, I was talking to somebody the other day who was talking about a Christian men's conference, and they were saying how that they went around, or somehow they got this stat that when they had a Christian men's conference in this area, that the rentals on porn movies went skyrocketing. Well, that stat's been out there for as long as I can remember.
Well, also the minibar, too. The minibar in the room. Nobody drinks at the hotel, but they all drink in the room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've heard those same statistics.
Yeah, yeah. So, this is cultural undertone, and we need to take it seriously because it's eroding. And, you know, God's not interested in all of America. He's interested in the body of Christ. He's not interested in all of Western society. He's interested in if my people who are called by my name.
Well, I've heard that this is as much a problem within the church as it is outside the church, too. Yeah. So a lot of Christians struggle with this. Yeah. So you wanted to start off by looking at kind of the difference between is addiction and sexual addiction, is it a sin or a sickness or kind of both or what?
They're beginning to do different things even with the definition. I'm looking at Webster's Dictionary, and you know, so that they're classifying addictions as diseases, and then they're classifying, they're kind of redefining disease as just a behavior. Disease used to be a medical term, and it was like a malfunctioning organ or something that was either genetically malfunctioning or had been the result of an accident or an infection or something like that that had gone untreated. So now they're broadening the definition of disease. And so you could say, according to the newer definition of disease, that addiction is a disease. But what we need to keep in mind and realize is that it's not a disease in the medical sense. So we can't now go back and redefine the medical facts to fit the broadened definition. Addictions happen in the brain, and they can be reversed. We can teach the brain out of that. One of the questions that comes up a lot when I'm talking to men, it's generally men. There have been some women, but generally men that have sexual/porn addictions. And I say sex/porn because porn is almost invariably a part of it.
At least starts there.
Yeah. And, you know, how do I have this problem? Well, it started probably very, very at the young age. So remember that when we're going through puberty, everything becomes sexual. There's nothing we can do about that because the body is getting ready to procreate. And so when kids, young people go in through puberty, they begin to experience these sexual sensations, and they're very pleasant. They're very powerful. And as alternatives to a whole list of unpleasant emotions like anxiety, boredom, discouragement, anger, disappointment, this newfound pleasure can be an almost irresistible alternative. Mm-hmm. And so I say if sexual gratification were a can of gasoline, then low self-esteem, anxiety, boredom, disappointment, tension of any kind would be like an open flame. Mm-hmm. I had a little story that I heard about a fellow who is burning on an adjacent lot. He's burning saplings, like probably alder saplings with a lot of worms in them. So he's trying to get rid of that. And so he's burning these saplings down. And it gets to the place where there's no more flame, just ashes on the ground in this large area. And no smoke, no visible fire out there. And so he's going to take a gas can out there, pour it out, and relight it. Just as he starts to do that, a buddy of his shows up and says, "What are you doing with that gas can?" And, you know, a guy that's a little more savvy with, and so he explains this. No, I'm not going to let you do that. If you want to put a little bit of it in a cup or something like that, I'll let you do that. Oh, so he does it. So he goes out on this field with no apparent fire, and he starts to toss this stuff, and it explodes just as it comes out of the can. Mm-hmm. So. I tell that story if people have never seen, gas with an open flame, or even heat. You know, in this case, it's like having that kind of a sort of pleasure, that kind of overwhelming pleasure, in the presence of things like depression or anxiety or boredom, homework that I don't want to do, anything that I would experience as unpleasant, that's going to become the brain is going to attach to that behavior. And if I don't monitor it and if there's not strong guidance at that moment, it can very easily become
take over.
Right. And then we carry those into our adulthood, just like that. And it just becomes.
So this is learned for young men anyway, as young men, more than ever before. I mean, hardcore pornography is available right there on their cell phone. And so they're being trained.
And as we were pointing out before, culturally, it's acceptable now. Mm-hmm. And so the deck is really stacked. When I was growing up, they used to have a statistic about, you know, how many young men were exposed to pornography. Well, that statistic, the doors are blown off now. Yeah. It's rampant, as you were pointing out, through Hollywood and everything else. So it's almost a way of life now. So it really has become every man's battle.
So these guys are growing up and getting married, mm-hmm. and it's showing up in the marriage. They think getting married is going to solve it. Doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's because they've learned that this is a way to escape all these feelings.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I've heard that too, people who are addicted, whether this is true with alcoholism, I think other mm-hmm. kinds of addiction, but probably more so with this one because it is so powerful. It can be done secretly.
Smell it on your breath.
It medicates very well. So we got a bunch of people who really are emotionally pretty mm-hmm. kind of locked in a childish way of dealing with mm-hmm. their feelings. They don't know mm-hmm. what to do with their feelings. And so these are the kinds of things that you're dealing with now in marriage counseling, mm-hmm. also one-on-one counseling as well.
Yeah, and it can be in degrees. You know, it would be a mistake for people to assume that since it's not taken over my life, that it's not exactly an addiction. And here we've talked about this before, is that the danger too is that in my mind, I can look at this behavior and say, you know, I don't have to do that. I have a choice. But without realizing that the addiction is in the brain, not in the mind. And so once our brain defines a comfortable or this desirable neurological balance, it's good. The brain is going to go toward that,
that the brain gets trained or hardwired to rely on sexual pleasure mm-hmm. as the answer to everything.
Yeah, there's kind of a circular thing here. Often, the brain is first neurologically trained, when we're young, to use sexual pleasure to escape emotional unpleasantness. And then, emotional unpleasantness is in turn defined by the brain as anything rewarding, anything less rewarding than the sexual pleasure.
Which is just about everything.
Yeah. It can be anything. It could be responsibility, could be change, could be challenge, could be disappointment.
Easy to see how this can really take over mm-hmm. a person's life. Yeah. Well, this is a big subject. We're going to get into some ideas on how to get free, how mm-hmm. to really make a change in this area of your life. Daniel Pryor works with a number of men, both in individual counseling and also in marriage situations where he helps them get back on the right track in this area. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you if they need some help with this or any other issue?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. And, of course, they can also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
And your podcasts of your different shows and you have dealt with this subject to a degree in other shows as well. Mm-hmm. You can get podcasts also at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have locations in Bellevue and Edmonds. So if you need some one-on-one counseling, some life coaching, Daniel is available. We'll come back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland is along with Daniel today as well, and a great scripture to start our second half of our show here today. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it." Some good word, mm-hmm. some good news from God's word on this subject in particular. I think that's a really helpful scripture.
Yeah, and it helps to see the practical application of that, because a lot of times we kind of think of that as a platitude and without understanding really what those words imply and how they are in practice. So the way of escape, to be really frank, you cannot escape you know, what the Bible refers to as the lust of the flesh, and if you don't walk in the Spirit. Spending time with God, you can't be righteous without spending time with God. How much time do I have to spend with God? Somebody might be asking, you know, because maybe we've tried this before, and we've tried personal devotions and quoting scripture and saying Jesus, Jesus, Jesus over and over. How much time do I actually have to spend with God? Well, you have to spend enough time with God. That's how much. There was a calculus student one time who, as she was studying along, she was able to do all the homework and actually probably enjoyed the homework and did more homework than anyone else. But when it came to test time, she was just not doing well on the test. So she went to the instructor and said, I'm understanding the material, but I'm not doing well on the tests. And the instructor said, you're not doing enough homework. And she said, well, I'm doing more than you're assigning. He said, you're not doing enough homework. Well, you see, I'm doing all of the problems in the book. You're not doing enough homework. It's not the same for every person. Mm. The time, how much time do I need to spend with God? Enough time so that you, I've heard put this way, you love God more than your addiction. You have to spend enough time with God to where your brain starts to look at time with God as that neurological balance that it desires over the other. Mm. And for some people, that's a lot more than others.
If you've got a bigger addiction, you're going to have to spend more time with God. Yeah, it seems to make sense.
And there are some people that I think that, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And there are some people that there's a call or God has his hand on a person's life, and it requires that person to delve deeper. We're just not all going in the same direction. You remember on the seashore when Jesus, after the resurrection, was talking to Peter and saying, feed my sheep. And Peter was saying, well, what about John? And Jesus was saying, that's none of your business. You know, we're talking about you. And so it's a mistake to think that, well, you know, this person over here I know spends 5 minutes a day, so I'll try that. And then say, no, it doesn't work. We're not all going the same traveling in the same boat, trying to think of an analogy.
Well, I've noticed too. I mean, some people are getting back to the addiction example, like of alcohol. Some people can have a glass of alcohol and they don't become an addict. Some people have one drink and they're off to the races.
Yeah.
So there's obviously that person is going to have to take more care, be more vigilant in this area of weakness. And the unfortunate thing about sexual addiction is, like we've said, there's sexual stimuli everywhere, and there is a certain aspect in which men are visually stimulated, so it's you got to almost like work overtime. Yeah. All men do. I've heard the term "every man's battle."
Yeah, you know, and I've known men, and you probably have too, that can we can look at the you can be on the internet reading articles, and off on the right or the left column will be all kinds of YouTube things that you can clip to with women scantily clothed, and this guy can be looking at that and not even see that, and another guy can't even let a waitress go by without, you know, mentally undressing her.
So that person, let's talk to that person, because that's the person that's probably, it's become a problem in their marriage and their personal life, and they know it.
Or they don't know it.
Okay. Yeah. And so you say a lot of times this presents itself as to be more of an issue than they realize when they come into counseling. What do you mean it presents itself as more of an underlying cause than they maybe realize?
Well, one thing is, of course, in relationship, and we talk about sin, the definition of sin, and I think of sin as always, always, always having to do with relationship. God is not put off by naughtiness. God is put off by broken relationship. And so all of God's laws are about building and maintaining relationship. And so I think when God talks about sin, and when we talk about salvation and being saved from sin, we're talking about the restoration of intimate relationships. So sin doesn't have to do with, you know, naughty things. Sin has to do with relationship. And so in that way, even anything that causes distance, and so, is something we want to get rid of. And so even if it's in degree, and so a lot of men, women too, will let what David calls presumptuous sins, you know, yeah, it's probably not the best, but other people are doing it and I'm sort of getting away with it. I don't see that it's harming. But you can't be partially moral and partially immoral. You can't be, you know, partially intimate with God and partially not intimate with God. Mm. It's one or the other. So there's some, we'll talk about some retraining mechanisms. Now, these, it's not one size fits all, but these are some general things that, I talk to people with. And of course, when we're in counseling,
it's, this is the kind of solutions that you offer for this.
Yeah.
This problem. These are some things
these are
you should
some.
Try in your
yeah.
life to yeah. maybe change the direction.
Yeah. I talk to people about a toolbox and having lots of tools in there because mm-hmm. They don't all work all of the time. So you have to, have different tools for different times. But one is, so let's say some really practical things here. A lot of times the problem is the internet. And so some people will put a block on the internet. Another thing you could do is put a screensaver on the internet that touches you spiritually. Mm-hmm. Something of the crucifixion or salvation or something like that, or the call on your life. Something on the screensaver that really gets a hold of you. And of course you might have to change that from time to refresh it because mm-hmm. that, you know, get tired of seeing the same message. The brain gets tired of seeing that same message, so we need to kind of change it up. But there should be something in front of me, kind of like a threshold between you know, where I'm at and the problem area, so that I can respond to that in an appropriate
way. So that's
way.
That's just a given. If you've got a problem, particularly with the internet, you've got to put some roadblocks there. You've got to put some
absolutely.
Safeguards around it. Absolutely
yeah.
have to.
Had a man that I spoke with many, many years ago that was out picking up prostitutes and just couldn't seem to quit. He had tried giving his keys to his wife and then he'd sneak back in the middle of the night and get him and go out. And so I said, well, you need to put a Jesus Loves You bumper sticker on your glove box.
There you go.
And I guarantee you the evening will turn out different when you pick that gal up.
Mm.
Well, he didn't do that, and he continued to struggle with it. He wouldn't put up the roadblock.
Mm.
So you have to do this stuff. These retraining mechanisms, obviously, you can't just have them written down somewhere. You have to actually. Another thing is becoming an analyst, because there's an operation of logistical or logical operation of order of operation. Mixing this all up here, order of logical operation, which goes belief. Emotion, behavior, belief, emotion, behavior. And that's almost like it's an autopilot thing. And so we get caught in that autopilot and that sort of like automatic, it's like a circular railroad track that the train never stops. And so we sort of get caught up in that. And we find ourselves behaving certain ways, which is an automatic response to an emotion, which is an automatic response to a belief. Now, there are things that we can ask ourselves to take us out off to break that cycle and put us into a place of being an analyst of our own behaviors, emotions, etc. And so we can ask ourselves questions like these. And this is good. I've told men.
I've heard this before. This is very important.
And I've told men, do this even if you're in the middle of failing.
Mm.
You need to become the analyst, even if you're in the middle of failing, even if you're sitting there looking at and you have not been able to stop looking at that pornography, even in the middle of it, you should be asking yourself questions like this. What am I feeling right now about what I'm doing? How do I feel about what I'm doing right now? Now, a lot of people don't want to ask the questions because they'll break the flow of the thought, but that's what you
want. Or maybe, what was I feeling before I got into this?
Yeah.
What was going on feeling-wise in my life that led me to this at the moment?
Why do I think I have to do this? Why do I think I have to do this? These are not rhetorical questions. Why do I think I have to do this? What do I believe about this? What is the shame in my life? What am I afraid of? Lots of some good questions there to ask and become the analyst. And 75% of the time, those kinds of questions are going to so color and change that experience that it's going to be like taking a drink of alcohol and not having any effect. And then the next time you go back to it, it's going to be less powerful. It's kind of like working the cycle backwards. Another way, count the cost to you and to others every time you decide even to yield to the temptation. Again, even if you're in the process of yielding, count out loud the costs. This is hurting my wife. This is hurting my children. This is hurting my ministry. This is hurting God. Count the cost out loud, even if you're yielding to the temptation.
I like this last one too. I've heard this very important. List your cloud of witnesses, or in other words, accountability.
Yeah. Yeah. List your count of, you know, so Paul says, so seeing that we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, then this is how we should behave. I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I treat it as though there are mentors, people that I have loved in my life and respected and regarded highly that have gone on before me. And if I'm tempted in some area, I want a list of all those people that I hope wouldn't see what I'm thinking or saying or doing. So, you know, lists. These aren't silver bullets, any one of them. They're all things can go in a toolbox. Mm-hmm. But you need these kinds of things in order to be serious about turning around that kind of
behavior. Well, it's a big issue. It affects so many people's lives. Sexual addiction, pornography addiction. This is something that you're struggling with in your life personally or is affecting your marriage somehow. And you need some help. One of the things that you need to do is get some accountability, get somebody speaking into your life. And Daniel Pryor can certainly provide that help. Daniel, how do people get in touch with you?
Yes, by the phone number is 425-778-6169. Also email through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Yeah. And podcasts of all your broadcasts there at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Right.
And you have offices in?
Bellevue and Edmonds.
So real handy. Life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor to the rescue, always here on the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Bellevue and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.